fans, come ring in the new year with Southern Honor Wrestling. Join us for SHW16, Friday, January 10th at the Action Building in Canton, Georgia.
This crowd is getting their money's worth tonight.
Witness the first ever dog collar match in SHW history between Joe Black and William Huckabee.
Huckabee and Black, face to face one more time.
See the return of Georgia wrestling legend Kyle Matthews as he makes his Southern Honor in-ring debut against David Ali.
Kyle Matthews, I still can't believe what we're seeing here in an SHW ring.
Newly crowned SHW champion Corey Hollis defends the title against former Impact Wrestling superstar Suicide.
Corey Hollis has found a way.
And a number one contender's fatal four-way match between Owen Knight, Ashton Starr, AC Mack, and Cam Carter. Plus Danny Jordan versus Brooklyn Creed, Gunnar Miller versus Sean Legacy. All this and so much more.
I can't believe what we're seeing here, folks.
Doors open at 7 p.m., bell time at 8. Tickets start at only $10. Grab yours now at SouthernHonorWrestling.com. SHW, this is our wrestling.
Welcome to the Georgia Heat Podcast. I'm your host, Trey Davis, alongside Logan Frazier. We've got a big show lined up for you tonight. We're back, and we're back in the new year, and we're trying to put out more content. That's our New Year's resolution. Me and Logan are going to try to put out way more shows, and we're going to start out this week with a ton of new shows and a big announcement, hopefully, at the end of the week as far as a special guest on the show. But tonight, we're going to be reviewing Logan Frazier's review of the AWF show that happened this past Friday night, which was, can you give us the exact date on that, Logan?
Yeah, that was January the 4th at the Circus Tent Arena.
Oh, boy. All right, yes. So we're going to be reviewing that.
Your favorite eyesore of Ringgold.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, you got that beautiful Catoosa County Library right there, all brick, beautiful, and you got a, you know, you got also this beautiful neighborhood that's across the street, and then you have this giant freaking building that looks like a circus tent. So, we're going to be reviewing that tonight, and we're also going to be revealing who the fans voted for on the Elite Marks page for your Georgia Indie Awards. So first of all, let's jump right into this AWF review. Of course, Paul Lee, the owner, I'm guessing the booker, and has his hands in everything. Logan attended this show. Logan, let's get quick thoughts on the show, on what you thought of this show compared to the last show that you went to.
Okay, so the first show that I went to there was the first show they had there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had several kind of surprise spots that first night. They were really trying to show out a little bit. They had a big title change at the end with Fly Guy giving up the title that he had held for quite a while.
And let me just say this. Let me cut in real quick. I've seen Fly Guy wrestle before. He is absolutely pure shit. But go ahead and continue on with what you were about to say. Go ahead.
Okay, so then gave up the title to King Shane Williams. It was kind of a you know, a lot of the matches, you know, not just this one that I'm talking about now, but a lot of the matches that take place in AWF, they have some kind of, like, overhanging pokiness to them a little bit. And I'm not trying to be insulting. And I'm going to be honest, this report will almost sound like I'm being, you know, insulting. But I'm not. Anytime I give a report, it's unbiased, and the purpose of it is for constructive criticism.
Yeah, let's start out with a positive note, because I know that I crap on Paulie and AWF a lot. They're, you know, the reality of it is they're 5 minutes from my house. I need to attend a show, especially we'll get into the review of a wrestler that I particularly like on this show. But let's get into a more positive note. You had 77 butts in the seats, including children. And then you had, you write up in here, and everybody else has bragged about how the ring is positioned and the entrance and the lighting and everything. The building is way better than the building they were in off 41 Highway. So, you know, let's go ahead. We'll start out on a positive note for them. But at the same time, we're fans, and we're letting you know how your product is coming off. So go ahead, Logan.
Okay, so first you, of course, have Robbie Roode come out and introduce himself and welcome you to the show. Robbie Roode is really good at getting the crowd fired up, and when I mean fired up, I'm talking about bringing out the heat in the crowd, because he's slinging insults here and there, and he tells one guy to go back to Subway and make a sandwich, you know, stuff like that, you know. And but he introduces the Brian Balor, who is one of my favorite wrestlers at AWF.
Can I cut in just for just a second, Logan? Because many of you know on the page that actually drive for UPS, well, I'd actually gotten stuck where the Subway is in Ringgold, downtown Ringgold, which this is where the event's taking place. The worker came out and got to talking to him, and he works at Subway, but also works for Paulie and sets up his stuff and like the chairs and everything, and does odd jobs for him. So that makes me think what you just said, that fan, that particular person that I talked to that evening, was in the crowd, and he was probably actually a Subway worker. But go ahead. I just had to point that out.
I honestly believe that many of the things that happen at AWF is set up like that on purpose. You know, me and Casey were talking. He was telling me about the situation years back when Jeff Morton's mother-in-law,
right,
was the lady who pulled the gun on Paul Lee when that was a big thing that happened or whatever.
Which,
you know,
yeah, a lot of people were saying that was a work that made news everywhere. Every podcast I was listening to,
yeah,
talked about that.
Well, Casey was telling me about it beforehand, and he said, you know, it was a work. He said that whole thing was planned out, and he said, think about it, because if the way Paul Lee is, if Jeff Morton's mother-in-law had pulled a gun on him legitly, he said, you wouldn't have Jeff Morton working on a Paul Lee show. And you wouldn't have he said, and it would not surprise me at all if we walk in that arena tonight and that woman is not sitting at ringside.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
we walked
probably
in, and the very first people that we saw was that woman, her daughter, Jeff Morton's wife, sitting at ringside. And he said, you're right. Because there's no way that if that was legit, that woman would be anywhere near.
Boy, that would be great. That would be great to get her on the podcast, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
Come on, man. Come on.
I don't know.
Wow. All right. Well,
let's put Jeff Morton on there.
Yeah, he would be good to get on there. He actually plays a pretty cool little comedic character for AWF. But let's continue on with the review.
Okay, so Brian Balor comes out to an interview by Robbie Roode, and he claims that 2020 is going to be the year of Balor, and proceeds to issue an open challenge. Open challenge is answered by a wrestler by the name of Young DC. And from the podcast where I reviewed the very first show, this was the person that Paul Lee wrestled at the first show. He kind of puts you in the mind of like a young Kofi Kingston in a way. He has a lot of the same energy, I think. You know, and the thing about it is none of these wrestlers, you know, they have the ability to do a good show. They have a good crop of talent. It's just, I don't think they're used properly. And, you know, I think there may be some hope there, but it's just, they need something else. They need a little less Paul, maybe a little more of something new, you know, injected into them.
So Balor, but is he playing a heel now? Because he was a face whenever I was kind of in tune to their product.
Yeah. Okay, Balor is now a heel, and honestly, I think
he's
he does
pretty good
a lot
talent.
Better as a heel.
Yeah, and he's a really good talent. And then
absolutely, and one of the best.
Never seen Young DC. Don't know anything about him.
Well, I'm telling you what, he don't look anything like the old DC that we have. You know, he's opposite.
Well, let's get to why you graded this a C+, because I don't know anything about Young DC, but I know Balor is good enough to carry somebody to, you know, a good match.
Okay, so the reason this got a C+, there was a lot of where DC would kind of start to get to do some of his aerial moves and stuff, and you would have a lot of hesitation, like the talking back and forth between
the match
Balor
didn't flow
and
well.
Him. Right. It just didn't flow well. It seemed kind of thrown together. Well, later on, there's more of this that's going to come into play later on. And that made it a little bit better. The C+ that I gave was strictly for just that moment of a match. And it didn't last very long. And it did what it was supposed to do in having Alex Taylor come out, who is probably my other favorite wrestler with AWF, and distract Balor to allow Young DC to get the pinfall on him. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it doesn't appear to be the year of Balor after all, because that was the whole deal, that he was going to be unpinnable this year. And the first thing that happens in the first match of the year is he got pinned. You know, of course, that's a typical, you know, that's a typical heel progression, though, you know. Everything that a heel claims has got to be kind of thrown in his face.
Okay, so the next segment, involves Paul Lee and Fly Guy, Robbie Roode, Shane Williams title. And that's pretty much Fly Guy challenging Paul. It ends with that. Paul ends up backpedaling. Finally accepts a match for later. I guess he's goaded into it. Okay, let's move on to JP Magnum versus Lydon Hale. How do you say this? Lydon Hale? Is that how you say it?
Lydon Hale is what I understood. They really have some issues with the speaker system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the gain and the being turned up so high. You know, their stuff is new. You know, the RCW had some troubles with their speakers. And, you know, I've actually talked to Tyler about it. And Tyler's like, well, you know, the speakers blew. And I haven't had, you know, having 50 people on a show, I don't build up enough money that I can just replace
the speakers.
Yeah, you've
got to pay his
time. Hey, I get that.
Yeah.
But when you've got Paul Lee that has brand new equipment, why don't you have somebody that knows what they're doing set the speakers right where the people in the audience can hear what's being said?
So is JP booked as a monster in this? Does he kind of pretty much dominate the match?
Yes. Okay. And the thing about it is you had JP working as a heel. And he comes out and there's a handful of people that's cheering him.
Yeah, that's that old booking for Paul.
Over half the crowd's cheering him. What's going on? Well, as the match goes on, JP is working the crowd out loud. You know, this is the person you put out before me and blah, 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 blah. You know, doing the heel thing. And he finally gets the crowd kind of turned around, and a little bit of that was Casey recognizing the situation too, and Casey started booing him and, you know, and stuff to try to help progress the, push the heel agenda on it.
Right.
And so, you know, every time that the Linden guy would get a little bit of momentum going, it was just the whole monster thing of just dominating.
That's great.
One of the really good spots.
I mean, honestly, if I'm running a promotion and I had JP, I would, you know, I'd definitely use him because he's got size, man. First time I ever met him, he came over to the house with Zach Bell, and I couldn't believe how big he was. Like, dude, this guy is ginormous. And I mean, he's just a bulky guy anyways. I mean, whether you make him a heel or a face, obviously you got to listen to the crowd. Maybe Paul wasn't expecting that kind of response. But JP's been around for so long. Of course he's going to get cheers. You know, it's kind of like you make Flair a heel. It's just, it doesn't work. You know, like after so long,
right.
When somebody's been around for so long, it doesn't work. So I'm glad they booked him that way. And I gotta go. I gotta make it out there just to see JP, and hopefully this leads to a little push for JP. He definitely. I mean, I know it doesn't matter two fucks to him whether or not he gets a push or not. But either way, as a fan of JP's, it's cool to see. All right, let's
absolutely
move on to Alex Taylor versus Jeff Morton.
And I will say real quick one more thing on JP.
Mm-hmm.
I have some inside information that I won't disclose, but after the fact, when I learned this, the match, the whole deal made more sense to me as to why they're doing the heel thing. And it's going to get interesting, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Well, I'd like to see JP win their belt. Yeah. I don't know if Paul will do that, but I know him and Paul are big buddies, so I'm glad they have mended fences, and I'm glad JP is back with the AWF. So let's get on to this next match. We got Alex Taylor and Jeff Morton. So what happens here?
Okay, so I was confused as to why in the world they're putting. I mean, I know that Alex Taylor was at one point trying to teach Jeff Morton how to be a bad guy, and that was in some of the shows that I missed. And at that time, Alex Taylor was a heel.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Taylor portrays a babyface now, and I'm assuming that has been like in the past show that this has, you know, kind of switched up. And he does great as a babyface. He's actually hilarious. But Jeff comes out and gets on the mic and says that if it wasn't for him, there wouldn't be an Alex Taylor. There wouldn't even be an AWF. And so he goes to start taking his jacket off, and I just find it funny that he takes his jacket off. He has a ref shirt on, you know, because that's been his whole gimmick from the get-go is he's been a ref, and he wasn't a good ref and all this other stuff. But, well, he turns around, and Alex Taylor just busts him in the mouth, knocks him to the mat, and he goes to set him up for – what I assume is Alex Taylor's finish. And before he can deliver the finish, Brian Balor comes out and attacks Taylor, which gives Taylor the win by DQ. And then Taylor and Balor start fighting. And not just fighting in the ring, they throw him out. Balor throws Taylor out of the ring first, I believe. And then they start fighting all over the place. At one point, Taylor throws Balor over the railing, and he lands on some empty chairs that are at ringside. I mean, there's no faking that. It hurt. It had to have hurt. And they wind up going in the bathroom, and that was kind of like a little hokey because they got in the bathroom, and they closed the door, and then you hear this hitting up against the walls and up against the doors, and the door opens, and Taylor's throwing Balor out, and Balor has toilet paper stuck to the bottom of his boot, and it's like, okay, that was a little hokey. You know, you were doing good before you tried to pull that off.
Hey, it's a small little touches.
It was, yeah, yeah.
Well, okay.
And they wind up fighting all the way out the door, and it was a good spot.
So the next match is Flyguy versus Paul Lee. We'll just kind of glaze over this because I'm really interested in getting in on the main event and talking about the main event. This match, you say, has a lot of theatrics from Paul. I'm sure it was a lot of, I don't know, gaga. I don't know if that's the term for it. So
flip over the turnbuckle and running into a clothesline.
You know, all the flare spots,
the back body drop, you know, the whole nine yards.
Okay.
So at the beginning, when Fly Guy come out and was complaining about apparently the last show, there was a masked guy who cost him the match against Shane Williams for the title.
Yeah.
So the lot go out and come back on, and this masked guy is standing at the entranceway, and is, of course, distracting Fly Guy. The lights go back out and come back on. He's gone, and Fly Guy turns around, and when he does, Paul lights up, you know, a fireball, which is from, you know, I guess flash paper. It's kind of a la Ultimate Warrior Hogan, you know, thing. And throws the fireball into Fly Guy's face, and Paul rolls him up while he's trying to, you know, clear his eyes and face, and puts his feet up on the rope and gets the pinfall.
Yeah. Boring. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, it's been done, and you're talking about this is the second match out of, four matches now that has had somebody distract a person and cause a roll-up. It's like, okay, come on, give me something different.
I wonder who's booking. All right, let's skip over the next crap. If anybody wants to look up the results, they can. This is what I want to get into. This is the meat and potatoes right here. This is what people are going to be talking about. Let's talk about this main event between the American Brawlers versus the Jungle Kings for the AWF Tag Team Championship. Okay. You know that the ring announcer announces Jungle Kings as a six-time undefeated AWF champions. So I don't know how they could be undefeated if they won the belt six times. But apparently, at some point in this match, Logan, Lex Lee gets frustrated and runs towards the back, and I guess he's talked into coming back out of the match. He is frustrated over a botched spot, or maybe you can clear this up. You were there firsthand. Let's hear what you have to say about it.
Okay, so we didn't recognize what exactly was going on at the first. It was a lot of confusion, and you didn't understand what was happening exactly. You just knew something was going on behind the scenes.
Right.
And when you're there witnessing the match, you're assuming that there is something bad going wrong that Lex is trying to be present for in the back, because he keeps disappearing and so on and so forth. So
okay.
Instead of reading you the match results, I'm going to read you my edit, which was after the fact. Me, Casey, and a few other fans that had watched got together, put our heads together on what we saw, and realized what had happened. And this kind of got confirmed later on by a couple of the wrestlers, too. So,
okay.
It said, after talking with several other fans in attendance and we all being confused, we pieced together what had transpired during this match. While Kevin was being singled out by the Brawlers went into business for themselves. One of them pushed Lex off the apron in a shoot, causing a following spot to look bad due to them not going according
position.
To the script.
Yeah,
the
they weren't in position
match.
For the spot, yeah.
Right. This apparently infuriated Lex, and he stormed off to the back during the match. He was apparently told in the back to get back out there and finish at whatever way that it shook out, you know. He came back out, and he was so angry, he picked up a chair, and he threw it into the ring, and he almost clocked the ref with it. He gets up on the edge of the apron again, and he screams at the ref to get the damn chair out of the ring that he threw in there just a second ago.
Wow.
And almost hit him with. And so the match continued, but it was definitely cut short, and it was very awkward. And at the end, Lex was thought to be in a hurry, and it was actually him being angry and storming out. And what happened was you had Lex tag in finally for the hot tag after being missing from the match, and Kevin not even knowing what was going on. He just wasn't there to tag when he was available and when he was supposed to be there. And so he finally tagged him. They did one of their double team moves, and
right.
Lex let Kevin. And honestly, I don't know this for certain, but I'm pretty sure that Kevin wasn't even the legal man. I think Lex was, but Kevin was the one that pinned the guy, and Lex stormed off and was already taking his gear off, like going out of the entranceway.
Wow.
And, like, Kevin was like, he looked like he didn't really know what was going on, but he wound up taking the second tag belt, and he was, you know, Hogan posing with both belts because Lex was nowhere to be seen.
Man, there's no tag division in the AWF, really. Like, it's just, it's a bunch of,
oh no,
some guys are just kind of old and run down, and it's just, to me, it's a waste of talent. The Jungle Kings are very talented. Lex Lee, of course, being the son of Pauly, very talented guys, and they're obviously wrestling guys greener than goose shit. But I don't know. I hate to see that because they were awesome at the Southern Honor shows that I've seen them at, and of course I've seen them. You know, at the AWF shows, they've wrestled, you know, the boys from Ring of Honor, and they've wrestled the Washington Bullets. So, you know, I've seen them wrestle other tag teams, man. They are extremely talented. So, heck, they were on 205. It's been several months ago. It was earlier in 2019, I do believe. But either way, they are super talented. I just hate to see them them wasted like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's some rumor going around about their exit from Southern Honor and them not being happy with things that were going on there. I don't know if that's true or not. And,
yeah,
you know, it's not for me to say, really. I mean, everybody has the reasons for, you know, doing or not doing something. And that's their own. But,
I enjoyed their gimmick.
You
man.
Know, I can't see them. I can't see them doing better here than they were at
I mean,
Southern
even
Honor,
if you don't even hear about them at, like, say, a Viral or Action or Southern Fried or, like, where, I mean, these guys, I don't know. They're just not, I don't know, they're not getting to the proper places, I feel like, that they need to be. AWF is a waste. Like, sure, do the AWF show, it's your dad's show. But let's go somewhere where, I mean, there's just so many companies. I can't even, like, name every in Georgia indie that's off right now. It's like five or six of them that they could really shine on and wrestle, you know, the Gymnasty Boys or, I don't know, just a ton of tag teams. I just hate to see them wasted over there.
Let me throw this at you. You've got the movement, okay?
Yeah,
movement goes everywhere.
Right.
I mean, they're holding three tag team titles right now, and I know this past weekend they were going for their fourth, and they said by the end of the month they had the potential to hold five tag team titles.
Right.
And I mean, to me, I'm looking at those boys and I'm like, that's really pushing it to get somewhere. You know, when you're working enough shows and showing up at those shows, to hold five tag team titles in five different promotions. I mean, that's saying something, you know. But then you've got the talent. And just being quite honest, the natural look of the Jungle Kings, and they're doing once a month shows at AWF, and that's it.
I know, shit.
I mean,
man.
I think
they're working some Alabama shows here and there.
Oh, okay. Well, and that could be because I just haven't seen them, you know. Neither one of them are on our page.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, Lex was. He even played fantasy for a while.
Yeah.
So you don't see any of their promotion, you know? So who knows where they're at, what they're doing.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is if you take, you know, you made mention, okay, it's your daddy's show or whatever that you're working. Okay, that's true for Lex, but what about Kevin? I mean, that ain't Kevin's daddy.
Right.
So he's just tagging along with Lex for what reason? I mean, what benefit? I mean, I know it's probably his best friend,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, at some point you've got to decide what's best for you, I think, you know?
Well, I'm going to give this show overall. You attended this show. What are you giving it?
You know, I got to go with a C, I think.
It's not too bad.
And I could have gotten closer.
Last one.
I could have gotten closer to a B without what happened in the main event.
Are they still doing the commentary over the PA?
They do, but it's not as vocal as they used to be.
Okay.
You know, it's them introducing the people and then, you know, you'll get occasional, you know, react like, oh, who's that? You know, or you know, more of a directing thing, not so much as a play-by-play anymore like they were trying to do, and it was just a garbled mess.
Yeah.
At least they've realized that, you know, sometimes less is more in an independent show. So
you're going to give it a C, and I guess that's their review of AWF. What was the name of this show? Did they even have a name?
No, as far as I know, it didn't have a, you know, a name attached to it.
And they get their next show coming up on February 1st. Am I correct in that?
That is correct.
Okay.
They also are going to have a show on January the 18th. That specific show will be a benefit show for Tracy Smothers.
Awesome. Yeah, that would be the time
so
for me to really attend.
Yeah, absolutely.
I
plan on being there. I've actually promised a friend of mine that's going to be on the show that I would show up at that one.
Man, wouldn't it be cool to have him in the corner of JP since their gimmicks are kind of somewhat similar?
Yeah. That would be pretty cool.
Do you think Tracy Smothers will have the Confederate flag?
I don't know.
It's a Georgia Heat podcast. I'm throwing that heat out. All right.
Speaking of JP, I meant to mention this earlier, too. This was one of his first shows being back after, you know, taking a break for a couple of months. But he is actually going to also do the NGWA show this coming Saturday also. So he'll be on that show also.
Yeah, so if you're in the area, please, where is the NWGAPWC for show? Sorry, my bad.
NGWA, and that'd be in Sebligna, Georgia. They're pretty close to Tryon, kind of in between Tryon and Somerville.
Yeah, so if you're in the area, check out JP Magnum. He is a tremendous worker and has got a great mind for the business. Always willing to talk to fans, too. Don't be shy to go up and talk to him, whether he's playing heel or face. All right, man. Let's
go. Be quick to sell you a gimmick too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we get back, we'll preview our show for our next show. So you're listening to the Georgia Heat podcast. I'm Trey Davis with Logan Frazier. We'll be back in just a second. We're back with the Georgia Heat podcast. Logan, it's been a good show, a very, very good review by you as well. You're always willing to contribute to the Georgia history, wrestling history, and I appreciate it, man. You're so detailed in it, but not too detailed, which I like. So I appreciate that, man.
I appreciate you commenting on it there.
So let's preview what we've got coming up. We're going to do a little bit shorter shows so we can put out more content. Like Stephen Platinum says, it's all about content. Get out of that content out there. So we're going to try to put out as much content as we can, and we're really, really behind on a lot of stuff that has came out. Of course, you have reviewed several of these RCW shows. That's going to be a podcast coming out very, very soon, as well as we'll go ahead and do, because we're running low on time, we'll do the Elite Mark Awards tomorrow, as well as we need to go into the Southern Fried Championship Wrestling results from just this past weekend? I think it was this past Saturday, with David Ali getting the Classics Championship belt from Allen Angels. We need to review that. Anarchy crowned a new champion, Griff Garrison. I'd like to do a quick review of that as well. So, yeah, we got a lot of shows to do, and we should have a big announcement in the coming days on a special guest for Sunday night's recording. So we'll keep you posted on that as well. Any ending notes for tonight's show, Logan?
No, I think that's pretty much wrapped it up.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if didn't know if anything newsworthy kind of spiked your interest in the last couple of weeks, because it's been over a month since we put a podcast out. But like I said, we're really going to get it on it this week. We're both amped up. We're going to be at the Southern Honors Show this Friday night in Canton, Georgia, at the Action Building. It's a tremendous card. I'm really looking forward to it. Logan, which match are you looking forward to the most this coming Friday?
Oh, without a doubt, I'm looking forward to the Danny Jordan Brooklyn Creed match.
Yeah, same here.
I mean, it's the, you know, like Platinum said, it's the one match that should have already taken place that hasn't.
Yeah.
So
the two top draws in the state of Georgia. Why hasn't somebody done this match yet? So this is the perfect opportunity. This is a real, real strong card. Friday night, I think Gunnar Miller versus Sean Legacy is a really interesting matchup. Their styles are kind of gonna contrast a little bit, but I'm looking forward to that matchup and seeing how that looks. And then what else? So the Fatal Four Way is interesting because that's kind of who they're going to be, you know, pushing for the next couple of months, basically. So it'll be interesting to see who gets the win in that, and who we have. Corey. I'm not really looking. That's probably the match I'm least looking forward to, is Suicide versus Corey Hollis. Several people have played Suicide. I mean, I guess it's cool to see the gimmick there. I know that, you know, I just feel like that this is a for sure win for Corey. That matchup I'm probably least looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Kyle Matthews and David Ali. That's going to be a good one. So, I mean, a lot of interesting matchups this Friday night. Which one are you looking forward to?
Well, it's got to be the Corey Hollis and Suicide matchup, because I have questions. I want to know who's going to be the person that's playing Suicide. I mean,
you're not going to find that out.
I'm interested and
T.J. Perkins,
like, excited about it. If it's going to be T.J. Perkins,
yeah.
But I don't believe it's going to be T.J. Perkins. I mean, I think
Christopher Daniels
a costume.
Christopher Daniels,
you got a costume wrestling for you.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe they end up swerving us and it ends up being some other, like an actual big name takes off the mask. I don't know. We'll see. They probably got something.
Oh, that would be really cool.
Yeah. They, you know, never count out Dylan's booking or Gary. I know the awards are coming up. We're going to put out our own little awards, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I think Dylan has done a fantastic job booking for Southern Honor. And, of course, Gary is an awesome promoter. And like I said, man, the Friday night card, man, that's tough to beat. There's a lot of great shows out there. There's a tournament coming up for PWX, I think. I might have that wrong. But anyways, you've got a lot of big shows just coming up in the next couple of months for other promotions. But this one, Friday night, it's going to be a good one. And that's about all the time we have for you. Logan, I appreciate you being on the podcast this week. And, well, what am I saying? We're going to put out several this week, guys. We're going to put out a ton of content. So I appreciate you being on here tonight, and I will be talking to you tomorrow night.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy. This is the Georgia Heat Podcast.
those of you who believe and are worried that my championship reign is in peril, believe not. Because everything that Spinebuster Championship Wrestling, everything that Johnny Maverick has told you is a lie. Propaganda, continuous propaganda, so that way you would buy tickets to see my demise. My demise isn't going to happen because I have not foreseen it. Ever since I stepped foot in Spinebuster Championship Wrestling, I believe myself to be a living prophet, because I prophesied that I would go through and take out the heavyweight division, and I did. I prophesied that I would become Titan Champion, and I am, which leads me to believe that I am truly Georgia Wrestling's savior, and I plan to save you all. My mission to save Georgia Wrestling will continue on January 8th, because no matter who Johnny lays at my feet, their demise will only strengthen the foundation that will influence the rest of the state and the world at large. Hallelujah.